will reign David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. Can these writings in Isaiah the prophet really speak of this child that I have seen recently in Bethlehem of Judea? If these events are about to occur, what wonders are in store for the whole world in the years to come? Why is no one answering the door? Where is Jasmine? Where is Darius? I'm coming. I will be there quickly. Good day, traveler. What brings you to my home? Yes, I recently made a journey to the land of Judea. Perhaps I am the one you are seeking. How is it that you know of this? News travels very quickly. You say you're from Persepolis. Why are you interested in my journey? Well, come in. As a fellow seeker of truth, I would be happy to tell you what I have learned and what it has come to mean to me. Here, please. Make yourself comfortable. Would you like some refreshment, something to drink, something to eat? All that is at my table is yours. I suspect that the first question that comes to your mind is why I made this trip to Judea after all. Why did I go in the first place? But in order to tell you that, I must tell you a little bit about myself and how I came to be known as a wise man or a magi, as people call us. I grew up in a well-to-do family here in the city of Susa. And because of that, I had opportunities to study ancient languages under the best teachers so that I could read their writings. My teachers saw great promise in me, and they enrolled me in training to become a counselor in the royal courts. As in such training, I had the opportunities to use the great library in our city, which contains thousands of scrolls and tablets from many of the kingdoms that the Babylonian and Persian dynasties conquered, many, many centuries ago. And I was able to study some of these scrolls. It was a great opportunity. I became learned in a variety of subjects. I studied mathematics and accounting and the histories of many different peoples. I learned how to determine the positions of the stars and the planets in the future. I was trained in some other more mysterious arts, such as divination as well. I enjoyed all of these studies, some more than others, but one particular thing fascinated me more than all the rest, and it was reading the writings of the ancient Hebrew prophets. You see, many years ago, many Hebrew people were enslaved and brought to the kingdoms of Babylon and Persia, and they were to serve in the royal courts. But among these men were those who were wise beyond the wisdom of our own people. You see, we wise men such as I are taught to use tricks and clever means to predict what might happen in the future. But the God of these people, the Hebrews, gave some of their men the ability to look into the hearts and the minds of men and know what they were thinking and to perceive what was actually going to happen in the future. Daniel was one of these men, and he rose to a position of great importance in Babylon because of his ability to interpret dreams and to make predictions of what was going to happen in the future. Isaiah was another one of these men who made amazing prophecies of things that were going to occur in the future. And one of them was fascinating to me. He predicted that the great king Cyrus of our own Persian people would be the one who would allow the Jewish people to return to their homeland and rebuild their capital city, Jerusalem, and their temple as well. Now, you might think that that doesn't sound like much, but he made this prediction over 100 years before the Persians conquered the Babylonian Empire and before Cyrus was even born. I find that remarkable. I have known many others who claim to do such things as this, but the failure of their predictions shows that they are mere charlatans and not true prophets. And as time went on, I began to have greater and greater respect for these Hebrew prophets. And when I had the opportunity, I would seek out their writings to find out what else they might have predicted that had already come to pass, or things that they predicted that might yet occur in the future. Some of my other colleagues became interested in these things as well. And it was while I was investigating the prophecies of Daniel and Isaiah that I came to understand that they spoke of a certain anointed one who was to come and reclaim the throne of Israel's great king David. Yet, from the sounds of these prophecies, he was not to be an ordinary type of king. One of those prophecies I was just reading before you knocked on the door was of this. It claimed that he was going to be a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting father, a prince of peace. And it said that he would reign on David's throne in a kingdom that would know no end. I sought to understand the details that Isaiah and Daniel had of anything they would say about this anointed one. And if I understood the time of which Daniel spoke, that this anointed one would appear, it seemed that his coming might be in the very near future. But as I looked through these prophecies, there were such conflicting images. On the one hand, he was to be a great ruler, a mighty king. Yet on the other, he was to be rejected by his people, to suffer and die. It said that he would bear the punishment of those who had done wrong upon himself. Other prophecies said that he would free the captives and give sight to the blind. Could one man fulfill all of these prophecies? We diligently sought to understand these strange things, myself and my fellow counselors. And it was while we were investigating these questions that a remarkable event occurred in the heavens above. There was a star which appeared. And according to our understanding of these things, it told us that a great ruler was born or was very soon to be born in the land of Judea. Could this be the very one that the prophecies which we had been reading spoke of? Ah, we discussed this among us, and the more we talked, the more we became convinced that this was the case. And we decided to put all else aside and make the long journey to Jerusalem to find out if this was true. It was a difficult and dangerous journey of over 1,000 miles. And at best, with our caravan, we could only make 10 or 20 miles a day. It took us over 2 months to reach our destination. When we had arrived in Jerusalem and sought lodgings and were able to refresh ourselves and clean off the dust and the dirt of our caravan trip, we sought out learned men from among the Jews and asked them, where is it that we would find this royal child? They were surprised at our question, and they were disturbed. They knew nothing of such a thing. We were so discouraged to hear this. Our hearts sank within us. Had we been wrong in our interpretations? Had we come all this way for nothing? Could we have been wrong? Could we have misinterpreted the omen in the skies? But then we were summoned to the courts of the Roman king, Herod. He had also heard of the inquiries that we had made, and he too was disturbed to hear that learned men from a distant land had come to ask about some royal child who was born in his own kingdom, and who he knew nothing about. He gathered the chief priests and the experts in the Jewish law and asked them, was there anything in their writings that spoke of such a person? After some deliberation, they said, there is something in the book of the prophet Micah. Now, this was a minor prophet whose writings we did not possess in the city of Susa, that there was something in this prophecy about such a ruler, and he would come out of Bethlehem in Judah. When Herod saw us, he told us this wonderful news, and then he commanded us to go and find this child, and when we had found him, to return and let him know so that he also could go and worship this child. We rejoiced at the possibility that our journey might still meet with success, but we were perplexed at this strange request of a Roman king. Why would a king appointed by Rome want to go and worship a child who Hebrew prophets said would restore the kingdom of David? It didn't sound right. We made our way cautiously to Bethlehem in Judea. The star which had led us to make our journey in the first place went before us, and I can say nothing but that it was a miracle that we found this child in the very place he was living. It was as if some divine power guided our very footsteps. But when we arrived there, we were surprised to see that the child was living in a humble dwelling and had simple peasant parents. The father was a carpenter. These were hardly the conditions that we expected to find this child who whose birth had been announced in great prophecies and who was to be a great king. But there could be no doubt that this was the destination that we were seeking. For when we talked with the child's parents, they told us of angelic visits that they had both had before the child was born. They claimed that they had had no relations before his birth, that the angels had told them that he was to be named Emmanuel, which, of course, means God with us. He was also to reign over the throne of David in a kingdom that would never end. And he was to receive the given name of Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. Ah, that is a strange combination, don't you think? Here would be a ruler who would save his people who did wrong. Normally, one thinks of a ruler as punishing those who do wrong, no? Yet, here we have a ruler who we are told is going to forgive those who do wrong in his kingdom. We had a wonderful time meeting with this child and his parents. We fell down and worshipped him and gave him our praises and gave him the gifts of gold and incense and myrrh that we had brought to honor him. And after our visit, we left and found an inn in Bethlehem to spend the night before we returned to Jerusalem. However, the next morning when we arose, we found that each of us had had the very troubling dream that we were not to return to Herod as he had commanded us, because he meant nothing but harm to this child, a child which clearly would represent a significant threat to his own throne. And so, rather than returning to Jerusalem, we took a different route and returned to our homeland, wondering what would become of this royal child, and why was he to be called Emmanuel, God with us? We had much time to discuss and think about these things further as we took our over 2 month trip back home to Susa. We looked forward to studying more of what the Jewish prophets that we possessed in Susa's library had to say about this royal child. We regretted not being able to spend more time in Jerusalem and talk to their learned men and hear what they might have to say from their own writings. We had already learned some things that we did not know from what we possessed. But it had been clear that what we had come to know of some of these men, that their hearts were not open to welcoming this child. And if we had remained longer, we might have endangered the child himself or us. And so it was good that we left. I have been home now for several weeks. It seems like a dream that only 3 months ago I was there in Bethlehem of Judea, the city of David, the home of the one whose throne this child was to inherit. Was it all just a fantasy, something that I imagined? It would be easy to just go back to my old life as a counselor in the royal courts and forget about all of this. But I can never be the same person that I was before these things took place. Before I began to investigate who this anointed one was that the prophets Isaiah and Daniel spoke of. I believed, as did most of my countrymen, that the stars and the other heavenly bodies controlled the affairs and the destinies of all people. We had always believed that. But now that I had seen these things, I have come to understand them differently. Now I believe that it is God Almighty, the one whom the Hebrews refer to as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who created all things, and it is He who rules over all. And that includes all people and their destinies. And it is He that sent this child, His Son, we are told, to save His people from their sins. Now, in the past, as I have read these Hebrew prophets and they spoke of their people, I would always think, well, he's talking about the Jewish people, not us. But now I have come to realize that this Almighty God created not just the Jewish people, but all of us. So are we not all His people? And if He sent this child to save His people, does that not include us? I do not know what all of these things may mean in the years to come. But I have come to know this. I no longer fear that my destiny is determined by a few stars and planets and their positions on the day that I was born. No, my destiny is determined by this Almighty God. And I have seen the star that He sent. And it has led me to the one who offers peace with God Almighty for all who would accept His authority and seek His kingdom. I believe that this is the greatest truth that any of us can ever know. There. You have my story. I hope it may lead you to investigate who this royal child is yourself. Perhaps you too will come to believe in Him and become a part of His everlasting kingdom as well. But look at the refreshing rain outside. We should not be inside on a day like this. Ah, it is so good to see after it has been so dry and dusty for weeks. Why don't we go out and sit in the portico in the garden and enjoy its fresh breezes? And then we can talk more. You surely can stay after your long trip from Persepolis. You are welcome to join us and share dinner with us and stay over if you can. I would love to discuss more things with you. Please come. So where do you live in Persepolis? I haven't spent much time there, but I would be interested in knowing.
Wow. A lot of insight, is it not? Some of the things that struck me as I listened to Mr. Wiseman share was the fact that God has, in fact, called from beyond the land of Judah to those living in darkness, to all the way to Persia, to Babylon. And He's called for Himself a people. He has made His good news known. There's probably a number of points that might have struck you, and I'd just like to open this up for a moment and say, what insights or observations did you make regarding what Bryce shared that maybe you hadn't thought of quite the same as you had this time? Anyone want to share? Yep. Krista?
Well, I was really taken by the aspect of how he worked, starting from that origin of, you know, that the stars are always in place that created this occurrence of what we call life. But in reality, he offered the aspect to help people think past the astrology and to really think into, like, who created the stars and how he was able to weave into the perspective of where this stands. I mean, to me, this is so presentable for our, you know, community, because, again, it helps the person, non-Christian, Christian, think beyond what is perceivable and seeable.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yep. He began with what the astronomers, astrologers knew, and then he took them past creation to the Creator himself. Good point. And he was able to see very objectively the prophecies that had been fulfilled, and how, you know, looking back at in Babylon at Daniel and Isaiah and the other prophets, and just seeing what in their history God had done in giving these men such wisdom. And that was the promise of God through Abraham, that all the world would be blessed. It was a gospel for all. They saw this conflicting theme of this one that would rule as Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, but then the prophecies of Isaiah that he was as a lamb before his shearers is dumb, so Christ does not open his mouth, and he is led to the slaughter. So, you know, this conflicting theme of the one who would be Lord of Lords and King of Kings was also the one who would save us. And that, too, is represented in the gifts that they brought. Gold as a king, incense as a priest, and myrrh as a savior who would die. Answers those who seek him. What do you think about the thought that Bryce brought out about rulers typically punish offenders? This ruler would offer himself to forgive the citizens of his kingdom. Wow, that really turns that all on its head, doesn't it? Maybe you're here today and you have been able to see Jesus in a new way and see that the prophecies all did in fact point to Christ as the fulfillment of God's response to our alienation from Him, our separation from Him. And maybe this season you have in a new way realized that you need to come to Him as you've never come to Him before and seek Him out. All He desires from you and from me is that we come as broken people that we are, recognizing that we're sinners, get rid of our pride, and realize that Christ Jesus came for the express purpose of dying in my place, in your place, to be our Savior. And He wants to reign in our hearts as Lord, because He is, in fact, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And just as the prophecies have predicted that Christ would come, and He did, they predict very clearly that He will come again. And He will establish His kingdom. And He will reign in righteousness. And all injustice will be done away with. Christ will be Lord and King, recognized by all as indisputable, supreme authority. So, let us come before Him and offer to Him, not gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but offer Him ourselves, as Paul says, as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to Him because of what He has done for us. If you're here today and you'd like to know Christ personally this season, and you've never made that commitment before, I would like to talk with you after the service. I'd like to ask you to stay and just come forward. I'll be here. And I'd like to pray with you and help you know that you are right before God. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this message in drama. We thank you, Father, for the wonders of your word, for the wonders of your person, for your gift of grace, for your constant love toward us, loving us that while we were still sinners, giving your Son to die for us. We ask, Lord, that even if there's one person who's never accepted you as their personal Savior, that today might be the day for them to come to know you by faith. Touch that heart, Lord. Touch our hearts. For those of us who know you, Lord, may we never get over the wonder of it all. And help us, Lord God, to be those who continually seek you with all our hearts and love you with every ounce of energy within us and tell this story of good news to those that we meet. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.